Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 9 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Nick Rehack of French Toast Sunday. Welcome back to the show, Nick, and clean up that whatever cake you have left over there.
I got out the broom and I started sweeping it, realized I need a mop. So after we finish this episode, I'm going to get back to cleaning.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And make sure you get Sheldon to take care of it.
Yeah. Dude, this whole minute was just Sheldon. Just Sheldon is it.
Yes. So minute 9 begins with Harry challenging Sally. And ends with Sally showing her true self. So, what's really funny here is the conversation ended yesterday with Sally getting a little embarrassed by saying, yes, I've had good sex. And, you know, people in the diner staring at them, especially, you know, Nick's wife, you know, on the side, you know, staring her down, staring down her husband who's staring at Sally. And then they go, they sit in the booth. You know, Harry's looking at trying to figure out what he wants to order, but he just doesn't let it go. You know, he wants this conversation to continue because he has trouble believing this. So he just says, with whom? What? With whom did you have this great sex? I'm not going to tell you that. Fine. Don't tell me. And then there's like a pause of like 6 or 7 seconds. And it's very funny because Sally feels compelled to respond, even though she doesn't need to. She really can get away with saying it's none of your business and that's it. But Harry, you know, leaves it out there and she takes the bait, which is what we want also, because we want to hear this dynamic between the two of them, you know, as things are going along. Mm-hmm. And then her response is Shell Gordon. And then Harry goes, Sheldon? No. You didn't have great sex with Sheldon. I did too. No, you didn't. Sheldon can do your income taxes. If you need a root canal, Sheldon's your man. But humping and pumping is not Sheldon's strong suit. It's the name. Do it to me, Sheldon. You're an animal, Sheldon. Ride me big, Sheldon. Nope, doesn't work. So Billy Crystal is amazing in this scene. You know, his inflection and the way that he delivers these lines is just great. Now, do you think he knows Sheldon?
No, there's no way in the world he knows Sheldon. I think he's just so taken aback by the name.
Because the way that he talks, you know, I've always thought that he's talking about someone that he knows. That he says, you know, Sheldon can do your income taxes. You know, he's not just talking about the name. I've always believed that. But you know, when I started looking at the subtitles, you know, that come with this. So he doesn't say Sheldon can do your income tax. He says a Sheldon can do your income tax, which goes with what you're saying, that he doesn't know him. But I always believed that he knew him. And he's saying, I know this guy. There's no way that this is the guy.
I could hear it like that too. But I just assumed like maybe he doesn't know that Sheldon, but maybe he knows of a Sheldon like back home. And he was like, no, not that guy.
Right.
Like anybody but that guy. And even then it's like, I don't know anyone in my life named Sheldon. I've only ever known the name Sheldon through media, like TV and movies.
Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. No, I actually, in elementary school, there was a kid in my class named Sheldon.
Okay.
I think his name was Sheldon Schneider. It's not Sheldon Gordon. That's for sure.
Got the old alliteration going, I feel you.
It could be. I guess his parents like the alliteration. I don't know. So I actually looked up the name Sheldon to see where it came from. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what the origin of the name Sheldon is?
I want to say Sheldon. You know what? Shot in the dark. Let's go Irish descent.
It's British.
Oh, so close.
Yes, it is a gender-neutral name. Okay, I don't
Really?
think I've ever heard of a female named Sheldon.
Wow.
And it means steeped valley. Okay, there's apparently a seaside town in Devonshire called Sheldon.
Okay.
Okay, that has a harbor that looks out at the rolling hills. In over the last I guess 20 years, people have mostly associated the name Sheldon with Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is very funny because like when I think of Sheldon Cooper, sorry, you see there I did it too. When I think of Sheld Gordon in this movie, I never picture him like in a nerdy type of way, like Sheldon Cooper. But now that I mentioned it, I was like, oh, wait a second. Sheldon Cooper, no, he wouldn't fit in there. Sheldon Cooper can do your can do your taxes. Sheldon Cooper can do your root canal. Sheldon Cooper can, have fun with flags. But Sheldon Cooper will not be humping and bumping. The name's popularity is it is 4,339th on this list. Okay, meaning it's not as
Jeez.
popular. Yeah, it's not a very popular name.
It's not like a Mike or anything, or a Rob for that
Or a
matter.
Nick, that type of thing. Yeah. And the waitress shows up at the perfect time because she really interrupts this conversation between the two of them.
Yeah. It's it
And
reminds me a lot of being in college and you're sitting around the table just having these heinous conversations. And then you could see when she shows up, he hurry like almost surprised by her, like quickly like sits up and is like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have this, like, and calm as cool as possible, like not even acknowledging the conversation that he was just having. We used to do that all the time in college, saying like the most heinous kind of thing, and then immediately he's like, oh yes, can I please have this? Thank you so much. Just showing him like, no, we're normal people, nothing disgusting's going on over here.
right, exactly. And what makes me wonder is how do the two of them, know what they want to order? They're having this conversation. They're not really looking at the menus.
I think they both go in knowing what they want. Like he's like a number three, so that's probably, if I had to guess, shot in the dark, it's probably like a classic club sandwich with chips, or a kind of burger with chips, like some kind of standard sandwich. And I think she just wants something light, hence why she goes for the salad. But then she's like, I'm gonna treat myself going on this car ride. I'm gonna get a very particular pie. And then, well, we'll see what happens from there. But I think they just both know going in.
Yeah, that's probably it, that makes a lot of sense. I didn't think about that beforehand, because I was just like when you're watching the two of them, Harry looks very quickly and puts the puts the menu down very quickly, but what she's looking for I think is a little more complicated, which we're about to get into. So, the waitress comes over, smiles at them and says, "Hi, what can I get you?" And Harry just goes, "I'll have a number three," which once again, I don't know if this is Harry Burns etiquette or non-etiquette or whatever. To me, it's very strange that he doesn't let her order first.
Yeah, I've always been very much a, the wife hates it. She absolutely hates it. But as soon as someone comes over, I just look at her and she's like, I'm ready if you're ready. Even if I'm not ready, I'm like, yeah, go for it. And I'll just very quickly and hastily make a choice. But I'm always like, no, you go. Like every time.
Right. I mean, I always let my wife order first, and that's the same thing. She can order first, and most of the time I know already what I'm getting. Or no, a lot of times for me it's very strange. I'll know going into a restaurant what I want to order, and then if they tell me they don't have it, then I'm in trouble. Because then I have to try and second guess myself and third guess myself and try to figure out, what it is that I want.
Yeah. Did I want this thing because I was in the mood for this particular type of food?
Exactly.
Or was it just because I like this thing that they make? Or do I
Exactly.
want something salty, sweet, blah, blah, blah?
Exactly. So Harry goes, "I'll have a number three." And then Sally goes, "I'd like a chef salad, please, with the oil and vinegar on the side and the apple pie a la mode." And I love how the waitress then gives it, a little bit of a shorthand, chef and apple a la mode. But Sally isn't finished. And then she goes, "But I'd like the pie heated. And I don't want the ice cream on top. I want it on the side." And I'd like strawberry instead of vanilla if you have it. If not, then no. And then she gets cut off because we end the minute. We can see that she's very demanding about her food, about what it is that she wants. And Harry's the exact opposite. Harry doesn't care. Like you said, he's ordering the club sandwich, whatever it is, whatever comes with it, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. I'm thinking about death. And for her, it's completely something else.
Which that it always bothers me, and I don't know why. Because if I'm ordering something and I don't want a particular thing, I'll say, yeah, can I get this without the tomatoes? Real nice and simple. But if someone I'm with goes like over two things like that, like, can I get it without this and this and do that? I'm like, oh no, please don't. Anything but this right now, please.
Which is one of the reasons why I like the fact that you can sometimes, especially in fast food restaurants, when you go there, they now have the machines where you can just do it yourself. And you don't need to try and explain to them and say, okay, well, don't give me the lettuce or don't give me the tomato, or you can easily choose that without having to feel that you're making an ass out of yourself, by that whole thing. I've heard this story numerous times that when listening to things about When Harry Met Sally, that apparently Nora Ephron orders like this. This is really the way she orders things.
Really?
And apparently she was once on an airplane and she ordered something like this. And the person sitting next to her says, "You know what? Have you ever seen the movie When Harry Met Sally? You're just like Sally."
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah, it really is. Now, she mentioned she wants a chef salad. Do you know what a chef salad is?
Just a standard lettuce, iceberg lettuce, onions, tomato. For some reason, I want to say there's an egg in there,
Yes, there
but I
is.
could be wrong. Aha, nailed it.
You are correct. It is a salad with tomatoes, cucumbers. Sometimes has cheese. It's on a bed of lettuce or some of the leaf vegetables that you can also have. Sometimes you'll have some sort of meat in there, roast beef, chicken, turkey, ham, something like that. Apparently, there is much controversy as to when someone first created the idea of the chef salad. Apparently, it goes all the way back to the 17th century in England and
Really?
was very popular in colonial America. That's what some people say, and then there are other people who say that it was only originated in New York in the early 20th century. The person who is mostly connected to it is a guy named Louis Diat, who was the chef of the Ritz-Carlton in New York during the 40s.
Okay.
No one is 100% convinced that he originated the dish, but they know that this is his recipe of what he did. That maybe
Just don't get the
he
egg part in it, you know?
the hard-boiled eggs. I don't know. I'm not a salad person, so for me it doesn't really make a difference. For me it's a waste. It's a waste of,
I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
I just go for the meat. I don't need the salad.
Nope.
On the side, on the side. Yeah. So yeah, that's what there is about that. And then she said she wants it a la mode. So what do you know what a la mode means?
Topped with ice cream.
Okay, that is correct, but
Ooh.
the that's what a la mode when you say you want something a la mode, that's what it is. But the term a la mode means in the manner of. Okay, it's the way a
Really?
dish is prepared.
Huh.
Okay, it's interesting. It's in the US, it's used to describe a dessert topped with ice cream. But that's it's just it means that the term a la mode in French means in the manner of. So it doesn't it's as if it like gets cut off by saying in the manner of. Like something's missing
So,
from the sentence. In the manner
but
of
it should
what?
be like, yeah, let me get pie a la mode ice cream on top.
Yeah. I want
So like,
pie
yeah.
in the manner of ice cream on top. I don't know.
What? I wonder why people just say a la mode, and it's just because it could be pie a la mode, warm.
Right.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. No, I was shocked. I actually, when I found this definition, I kept looking because I said that doesn't make sense. I want to find something else. And everywhere I went, it told me the same thing. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually all I have for this minute. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, I think I'm good on this minute. I mean, we've already talked about how particular she is. I mean, I feel like I would just die. I would absolutely die if I was with someone and they started ordering like that. But like you said, with, you know, a lot of places you can order on the app, it's a lot easier. A lot.
Yeah, for sure. And what is it? What was the Burger King slogan? You know, have it your way.
Have it your way.
There you go. So, okay. So the script. There's a few discrepancies here. One of them being that after Harry says to her, "Fine, don't tell me." So the script says a long silence. Maybe they both look at the menu. Maybe they just sit there. And then later on, he talks about with Sheldon. He goes, Sheldon can do your taxes. If you need a root canal, he's your man. But between the sheets is not Sheldon's strong suits. So what do you think about that change? Do you think that's better than humping and pumping?
I think humping and pumping fits with Harry's character.
Yes.
But I kind of like between the sheets sounds to me a little bit like cooler instead.
Yeah, exactly. But it's Harry's in your face way of talking.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And it completely works the way that it is. And then it says, Harry continues in a girl's voice. I love you, Sheldon. Do it to me, Sheldon. I can't get enough of you, Sheldon.
I like that he just has his kind of deadpan delivery of it and didn't try to like do an affectation of any sort.
Exactly. And my assumption is that this is Billy Crystal's, improv here.
By
throwing these things in there. And then Harry, then when Harry orders, so he says, I'll have a number three. And the waitress says to him, what kind of bread do you want that on?
Ooh.
And what is Harry's response? What do you think Harry would respond to something like that?
Pumpernickel. No, I would say rye.
He goes, surprise me, meaning he doesn't care.
Okay. Oh, because I guess it shows that much stronger of a dichotomy between the two on exactly. How he doesn't care. Look at us, huh?
Yeah, there you go. Mm. And then it says the waitress turns to Sally, and she says, you know what I'd like is the apple pie a la mode. And then she goes, apple a la mode. And then she starts explaining about how she wants it. And that's word for word. So every Thursday, we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Courting Dating Edition, where my guest will give some sort of story, adventure, misadventure, recollection of something that happened to them over the course of their lives that is somewhat related to something that happened while they were courting or dating. So, Nick, you got another story for us?
I do, yeah. This one's a little more on the sweet side, not as dark as the other one. The very first date my now wife and I went on, we went to Old Ellicott City. It's a small area within Baltimore County, just outside of Baltimore City. It's a lot of old downtown shops, and they have this big, like, three-story it's not even an antique place. It's like an antique mansion almost, just this massive – there's a first floor, there's a basement, a second floor. And on the first floor, I saw this little corner that had a bunch of records. So immediately I just sit on the floor and start going through records. And that's when her and I started talking about music and how big a fan I am. And she's pulling out some records and I'm telling her about, you know, different artists and things that they've did. And then there was another one that had movie soundtracks. And I told her the different movies that I liked. And I happened to mention that, you know, Fantasia is my favorite animated film of all time. And I'm looking for, you know, a really cool pressing of the soundtrack. Now, in my mind, I wanted an original pressing when it was on Buena Vista Records before it – when it was on Buena Vista Records before it became Walt Disney World Records, but I didn't get in all that detail. A couple years later, for my birthday, she gets me a original pressing of the Fantasia soundtrack, which was the Buena Vista before Walt Disney World. Like, she did all of these different things without even knowing that that's exactly what I was looking for.
Wow.
So, yeah. She said she just happened to find it online for a good price. And when she told me the price, I was actually shocked because it goes for much more than what she paid for. So good on her. But it was just, I don't know, it was just this really, really sweet thing. And anytime I look at that record, I always think of our first date being like in this little town at an antique mall, just talking about, you know, some of my favorite things. And I'm not saying it's become her favorite things too, but, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just always been, it puts a smile on my face.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. Yeah, I love Fantasia also, but I don't love all the segments. That's my problem with it. You know, obviously, you know, I love Sorcerer's Apprentice, and I became a huge fan of Danza Macabre.
And oh, nice.
I had some sort of classical CD at some point that had that the Danza Macabre on it, and I think it's like a 15-minute song or something like that, if I remember correctly. Mm. And I was able to, at the time, I would listen to it over and over. You know, it was just such a fascinating piece of music.
Nice, nice.
But the ones with the hippos just bores me. I don't know.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, my big thing was always the Rite of Spring by Igor Stravinsky. That piece, the one with the dinosaurs in it.
Okay.
But that piece has always been so fantastic to me, and I love the story of when he debuted it. They started rioting in the theater because of how just primal it was, and the dancing then went with it. They're like, you know, you're destroying music, blah, blah, blah. Like, just all this just intensity and insanity all around music. I just think for that to happen in the early 1900s is just absolutely, you know, amazing.
Well, like, 1940. Absolutely amazing. Wait, you're talking about when Fantasia came out, or you're talking about when the song came out?
When the song came out.
When
Stravinsky debuted Rite of Spring in 1913, like, they started like losing their minds in the theater. Like, they were screaming, they were shouting, like, they were just like up in arms over it, like trying to drown out the music by like shouting and screaming at it.
Yeah, but okay. I thought you were talking about the fact that it has the dinosaurs in it. And I'm like, but that only happened in Fantasia.
No.
They didn't see that. They didn't see that in you know, when they were in the concert hall in 1913.
For those listening, I was referencing that in Fantasia, the dinosaur segment is to the music of Stravinsky's Rite of Spring.
Yes.
And then when he debuted it, people lost their minds.
Okay. and so have I, apparently. Yeah.
But it was stuff like that like really got me on the path of like avant-garde and like just wild different ways of looking at some stuff. So that's always been, I don't know, it's just always been like really, really cool. And the idea of Fantasia, we can go on about Fantasia forever, but I love Fantasia.
I won't be doing that 1 minute by minute either.
That would be very fascinating, though. I don't know how you would do that.
I don't know either. That's why I wouldn't do it. And like I said, I wouldn't want to do every one of them. You see, and I was actually disappointed when Fantasia 2000 came out, because it wasn't even close to being as good.
Yeah, there was one segment I really, really dug, but everything else I was a little disappointed by.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, so Nick, how can people get in touch with Nick Rehak? Where can they find him besides looking in the record store? Where can they find Nick Rehak?
Besides on the floor of a record store, shout out Tracks on Wax. I'm on Twitter at The Rehak, T-H-E-R-E-H-A-K. You can find me on assorted podcasts such as Movie Films and Flicks, Exploding Helicopter, The Lambcast, the program you are listening to right now. I'm on and off episodes of the Deep Blue Sea podcast. And even the they're going to get mad at me.
Con Air.
There you go. You knew right where I was headed for it.
Of course I did.
I'm on that one as well.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for A Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So Nick, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to talk about Wonder Songs?
Well, when you put it that way, absolutely I do.
All right. So until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.